Hi, Henry and Steve here. Today we're going to talk about...
We ended the class, but then we're going to do one more.
Yeah, we're going to do one more.
Because
we've noticed over the years that you could learn all this stuff right here and do a really amazing, correct Bible study. But we also noticed over the years that we had to be intentional about using metaphors, making something interesting. We even have a class that we recommend that you attend on how to be interesting. But we did think after we did this, it would probably be good to give like extra, just another presentation on some of the things that we've learned over the years to get people to come back, to look at a theme or look at some metaphor. So I wanted to interview Steve, and then, of course, I'd probably think of things as well. So what have been some of your ways that you've kept things interesting over the years to make people want to come back?
Well, you know, there's two ways, I think. One way is to be interesting yourself.
Right? Okay.
You know, that humor thing, I like humor, and I like an atmosphere where people can laugh and have fun. You can, you know, a special insight that you've learned, you know, through studying, let's say, at Christian Leaders, and you've learned some deep things about a passage, and others might not know of that, and so... In a way, a leader can often have special knowledge,
right?
And that's interesting, especially if you, I think, present it in a searching for gold manner. I remember when I was, I spent a year in the Philippines when I was a student at seminary, and a friend of mine, he went to somewhere in Hong Kong. And then he took a ferry and another ferry, and then he ended up on some island. And anyway, so then he told us all about that. So Marie and I followed his, you know, took the thing and the ferry to the island, took the bus, went to the thing. Okay, it wasn't that great.
Right.
And the reason it wasn't that great is because, and it was great for him because he discovered it. Right. He didn't know what he was doing, and then he discovered this thing. I'm just following a thing. There's no mystery. I know where I'm going. I know what it's all about. And so, too, when you present an insight, it'd be like, hey, instead of just giving the insight all at once, let people fumble around with it.
Right.
Like, what does I thirst mean?
Right.
You know, when Jesus said, I thirst. Let's think about this. Now, you have the answer.
Right.
But let people kind of have fun as they're searching so that they feel like they're searching with you.
Right.
So there's two different ways of making it interesting is because you know stuff that they don't know and it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But to help them participate in the finding of it.
Right.
And that's kind of an art to take people along on your journey. That, you know, how did you figure that insight out in the first place?
Right.
Well, whatever it is, take those people on the journey. Maybe people are on their phones and people can Google things and you give them 5 minutes to, all right, here's the word, what does it mean? And now here's where you can look at, you know, the Hebrew words and what they mean, and then you have everyone do it. And now they share that, and one of those words is what you were going to bring up, but you led them to it rather than just, you know, handed it to them. So I think that's, you know, that there's a toss-up between making something really interesting and then making people dependent on you making it interesting.
Right.
So it's more...
Like if you can actually find the interesting people in your group and then give them an interesting stage a little bit.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're really good at creating games. Will you be the one that comes in with these interesting games so we right away hook us in just to, you know...
So let's say you got the wannabe teacher kind of person, right?
Right.
The answer man kind of person. Yeah. Well, hey, next week, Bob, we're looking at this passage, and there's three words. I would like you to give a little five-minute little speech on these words.
Right.
I want you to get into the background of it. And now, and now they do that, and hopefully they do a good job with that. But it's like making use of that person. Now, you could do it.
Right.
Right? You could just do the Hebrew word and so on. But then, see, now you're becoming the answer man, and you're interesting, but No one else is.
Right.
So if you can help people sort of be interesting, and you can do that by example.
Right.
Like, hey, let's tell a story.
Right.
That maybe in your life that relates to this. And
so transparency.
Transparency. Yes.
If a leader is not transparent, most of the people are not going to be and transparency is more interesting than like platitudes about a passage.
Yeah, like most Bible study groups last maybe 1 or 2 years.
Right.
And then they sort of peter out.
Right.
And they do because in the beginning people are sharing and it's an insight. But then a lot of times it gets a little too intimate and too scary. And so people step back and they start being more safe.
Right.
And safe is fine, but it's boring, right?
Yeah.
Or
how many times have we gotten to something and pretty soon it's like, I don't get anything out of that.
Right. So you might have a today's Bible study, we're going to have an argument.
And that's interesting.
And you five are going to be on this side of this question.
Right.
Is an eschatology thing or something?
Right.
And, or even, I did this in the Philippines. We had people that believed in infant baptism and adult baptism.
Right.
And I just put them on opposite sides and say, okay, today we're going to have a debate. Friendly debate. We're not going to hurt each other.
Right.
But we're going to have a friendly debate. And in fact, now I know you're an infant baptism person, but I'm putting you on the adult baptism team.
You have to argue the opposite.
You have to argue the opposite. So this is just, this isn't life or death. This isn't a salvation issue. But hopefully in the process, we're going to uncover all the relevant verses and thoughts, and then we maybe understand the other side a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So it's just, being creative.
So, the first part you mentioned is that that in the group, you take responsibility for interesting environment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to set an interesting tone.
Right. And we talked about you have to be transparent. What are some of the other things that we've learned over the years?
That what?
What makes people want to come back.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting, the transparency. I think love has in the food.
Yeah.
I mean, a little that's superficial. Yeah. We talk about it in this group, but I've noticed, like, I have over the years, I drop the food, and then I notice with the group just sort of...
Yep.
Anything else that just sort of makes people want to come
back? I think about for myself. When people go on and on and on, like, a 10-minute speech.
Right.
If there's 10-minute speeches, maybe 1 out of 10 is really interesting.
Right.
But it's like, and then I think about, okay, the group's coming over tonight, and I don't know why it's so hard sometimes to just listen for 10 minutes. If a person needs to speak, I should be able to listen. But it's like, you want people looking forward to this evening. So I think some of those
agenda items.
Yes, less is more.
Okay.
I took a Dale Carnegie course, and it was 12 sessions, and we had to take what we learned, and there was always like a 2-minute speech thing. And it was like 40 in the class. So people would get up one by one and give a 2-minute speech, which lasted forever, right?
Right.
But it was interesting. And it was interesting because people did it in 2 minutes. There was no fluff. There was no, people shared their hearts out. They shared their stories from, we had a pantomime something, and the people had to figure out what it was. And it was just interesting because, people sort of honed it down to what is interesting. And I learned in that class that if you ask the right questions, like, what was the most significant thing that ever happened to you in your life? And why it was significant to you.
Well,
you're going to get some really powerful stories.
And you can even take the same question on a specific topic. So if you're doing a Bible study on grace, you could say, what's the most significant example of how you receive grace in your life?
Yes. Or the most, what is your favorite verse on grace and why?
Right.
Why is it your favorite?
Right.
Or what was your darkest moment in your life, and what verse in the Bible helped you get out of that dark moment? I'm telling you, you're going to have some stories, and it's going to be incredibly
interesting.
So so being able to ask some of those questions, even in a regular Bible study, to ask someone to reflect on that you seem real passionate about this particular thing. Was there anything in your life that relates to this?
Right.
Now, when they share, people are going to be listening.
Now, so I want to shift gears. This is a few things we're giving you about how to be interesting. Here, I have another question. How do you grow a Bible study? Right. So how do you lead people in, like, increasing, or if a new leader comes, how do they get people to come without putting a notice in the bulletin, which often people ignore?
Well, number one, if you have 10 people, you're already the size you can be. I mean, anything over 10, you just have another person not talking.
Right.
So 10 is about the max number that a small group, and then there becomes a teaching thing.
Yes.
You know, like a sermon, or, you know, a church service. You can't have all
this
going.
So really, a house church, which is sort of different than a Bible study, is that 10 or more.
Yeah. Okay. And then you have leaders taking on more responsibility than sharing. Sharing, if you're going to have sharing, you can't have, you know, once you go past 10.
Right.
So let's say you're at 8. Well, you still have room for 2. Now, the problem often is you bring someone new, and they don't know all the special rules. They don't get the agenda. They don't get the ground rules that you all went over 2 years ago. A lot of things are being talked about, you know, have their own special language that you've all developed. So being aware that this person is new, and how do you onboard them? How do you make them feel welcome? How do you give them enough knowledge so that they can catch up quickly and explain why we do things? So that's really important.
Okay.
I think the biggest hindrance is, you know, once you have your 10, you stay there, and here's the reason why being the answer man and doing all the talking and leading in a special manner because you're so good at it, no one else will want to take that Bible study over.
Right.
And so the only way to grow is to divide,
right?
I mean, in the end, if you have 10, you're done. And so if you're going to grow, you know, either you have to let a few go off and get some people or not, but if the Bible study is such a success because you're such a great leader, no one in the group is going to think that they can do what you do.
Right. So really, so when we're talking about growing, we're talking about reproducing too.
Yes.
So at 10, it's not too difficult in many ways to get to 10.
No.
But to create a movement.
Yes.
Is to create 10 groups of 10.
Yes.
So now if you start thinking about that, then often new questions are raised. So when you set the agenda, you want to set the agenda to be a multiplying agenda for a movement in your church or your community.
Right.
Unless you just want to be that person. And again, that's a possibility.
It is. And then the group will go on, and maybe it'll last, maybe it won't last. And by the way, there's another point, too, is a lot of groups go too far and too late. You know, it's sort of winding down, but no one
dare stop it.
Yeah, like how do you end a group? And so it goes another year where no one really wants to go. And the problem with that is then people don't want to be a part of a Bible study again. They need a recovery of 5 years or something.
Right.
So when you sense as a leader, you're the leader.
Right.
So you're the one that has to do something about it. So if you sense that it's sort of winding down, you bring that up and say, hey, you know, I think either we should do something different or we should divide or maybe, you know, our season is done and, you know, we can figure that out. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Is it a possibility to, like, say that, like, we're going to do 1 year maximum, 2? I mean, even before, you know, in that opening discussion.
That's the best time to do it.
Is right before the set the ground rules. But then one of them on the word schedule is that this will be a 1 year Bible study.
Yes.
This will be a one topic Bible study.
Yes.
And then we're splitting.
And that, by the way, is an easy way to get people. Because some people go, okay, you're going to start a Bible study, but it's forever. And so I don't want to commit myself forever.
Right.
So if you have a 6-week Bible study, and that's all you're asking someone to do, way more people are willing to say, yeah, you know, I'll try that.
Right.
You know, and then after the 6 weeks, you can say what it might be possible, you know, in the future. But, you know, people are more willing to make a commitment to a shorter time than, you know, it's this unending thing.
Right. Is it possible to do like sort of a leader incubation Bible study where you recruit people?
Yeah.
What we're going to do is do 1 year, and all we're going to do is talk about how to set an agenda.
Yep.
We're going to talk about how to do a Bible study. We're going to talk about, in fact, we're going to, if one of us becomes an answer man, we're going to go, you know, and make it fun, almost make it a game.
Yes.
And then at the end of that year, the whole point is
all of you are leaders now.
Yes, exactly.
And we're going to help each other recruit people.
Yeah.
That would be probably the best way to do a Bible study, is to put multiplication right in the middle of it. Because the problem is, if it doesn't, the Bible study doesn't go well, no one wants to be a leader in a Bible study. And if it goes really well, people don't want to leave that group.
Right.
So what we did way back when with Where's Philip and all those things, remember? What we said is, okay, we have this Bible study, but everyone, this is training for you to be a leader in a Bible study.
Right.
But you don't want to lose this group. But we won't lose this group, because we will be leaders, and we'll have a leader meeting once a month where we get together and talk about how our groups are going.
Yeah.
So we don't really, we get the best of both worlds.
Right.
We keep this group that we've invested in, that we, you know, get along so well with. And then we expand it. And that's really, you know, the problem with all evangelism, with church growth, period, is we get a group of people, we like this group of people, and we don't really want new people coming in, messing that up.
Right. Well, and I feel there is also an inertia that goes against growing after a while.
Yes.
And if you're not self-aware of it in the beginning, if that's not your goal, the inertia will ultimately lock. I mean, this is the truth. 1987, in 88, and 89, when we planted churches, today, just 6 months ago, I found out that a group that we started in 1988 still meets to this day. Now, the church has, migrated into different things.
Yeah.
But, so I could say that 30 years, I planted a small group, and that small group is still me. Now, on one level, that's okay, but I had talked to one of the people, and I said, well, how's it going? Well, I really can't leave it. And it's and I said, when did you want to leave it? We were just joking. Well, about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But this is a 30-year group.
And
they have not really reached anybody else. And again, it sounds like I'm being critical, because, you know, I'm sure that they have been in each other's lives, they've done lives together and all of that. But I don't think I thought 30 years ago about creating reproducing groups.
But in a sense, you remember we talked at the very beginning that small group thing came into existence because the extended family thing was falling apart,
right?
And the extended family stays together,
sort of.
Right? Because at first you're really close to your brothers and sisters, but then you get married and you start having kids and you have grandkids. You spend way more time with your own family than you do with the extended family. So it sort of works that way, but you still do things with the extended family. It's just once in a while, and you talk about things and you compare notes on grandkids and all of those things. So there's a built-in mechanism in the family system for growth, because people keep growing up, they get married, have kids, and that system keeps going. The problem with this sort of, you know, created extended family, small group, is you don't have a natural childbirth thing. You don't have a teenager that wants to leave home eventually and do his own thing.
Right.
And so the family system has a built-in mechanism for growth. In the small group system, we sort of have to, the leaders have to sort of always push in that direction.
So to be a reproducing small group is to want that off the gate.
And to
raise up leaders and train them to be the teenager that wants to leave home.
And that's why it's so important to encourage people when they're in your Bible study, because most people are thinking, well, I can't do what you do.
Right.
So you have to overcome that mentality.
You cannot be as impressive as you could be.
Yes. You have to be impressive in the fact that you're impressed by your people, and you communicate it all the time, and you challenge, and you give responsibility. And even when someone takes the responsibility and fails, it's like, well, you know, that was a tough thing, but that you even tried is amazing to me. I see your potential.
Yeah.
So you have to be this cheerleader that's always trying to lift everyone out, or they will never want to lead their own group.
You know, we're probably end here. We're at the 20-minute mark.
Yeah.
If you were to look back at the movement of Christianity that you were part of in Bible studies, small groups, the churches you planted and everything, where would someone start this? I mean, they've just seen a whole class now.
Yeah.
Where would they start?
Well, we always talk about what you should. If you want to be a Bible study leader and you're not walking with God in your own personal life, then
you start there.
You start there and start in your own family.
Yeah.
Timothy, in the
manage
book,
your
Timothy,
own family. Manage, yeah.
If you can't manage your own family, why should we put you in charge of the church? And it's not like a penalty or something like
right.
that. It's just that you learn so much in doing it in your family
yeah.
that all those lessons leak over. So that then from there, if you have something good going on in your own family, see, you're kind of aware of things. You know, when we
right.
did, we had four boys, we're reading the Bible.
You're self-aware of the process.
Yeah, and you see progress, and, so you're aware
right.
of the good thing. This is a good thing. So now you might be more motivated to start something. Now, when you start something, it doesn't have to be 10 people.
Right.
You can find just one other couple.
Right.
The only thing that having more helps is then when people can't make it that night, you have somebody.
Yes.
But you really only need a few people.
Right.
So start with someone. Start sharing your vision of what you want to do. Figure out what kind of study you want. Even make up a little flyer or something. And, hey, I'm thinking of starting. You can read about it and see if you're interested. And start passing them out to whoever. And I think people really want to be a part of something, and
right.
no one invites people to anything generally.
Right.
So if you, or you might start with hospitality.
Right.
Just start, this year, honey, we're going to do hospitality like nobody's business. Every
right.
week or every 2 weeks, we're going to have someone over. After a year of that,
right.
you'll have a lot of connections to people.
And you'll be able to see it. So in other words, so to end this whole class by saying, start with your personal life if it's not
right.
there.
Right.
Then maybe start with a little hospitality, try something. Yeah. And then when you start a group, we've talked about like those rules and all of
yep.
that.
Yep.
But then have reproduction. Be a movement leader.
Yeah.
Although if you are not called to that, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But in general,
yeah.
the opportunity yeah. before us is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, this has been fun. I really enjoy doing classes with you, and I pray that all of you will find your place, your role as a leader, and may Christ be glorified.